Welcome, everyone, to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, The Advice Show, and as always, I have my co-host, Ms. Gabriella. How you doing, Gabriella?
I'm fine.
So, tonight's topic, stereotypes. Why society attack people for being different? Ms. Gabriella, why do you think they do that? And can you relate?
I can't explain why people do it. It's just that whole pack mentality, which we'll probably get into later. But my experience with stereotypes is that because I've always chosen to do my own thing, I've been treated badly by, of course, black folks, which is kind of sad. But in my life, the people that treated me worse than anybody else was black folks. They're like, well, why are you doing that? Oh, only white people do that. And why are you listening to that type of music? Oh, you're supposed, you should, you need to listen to Gucci Mane. You need to listen to Lil Wayne. That's what, you know, that's what you're supposed to listen to because you're black. And I find it really funny that it seems like there's some type of handbook of how to be black, and I was just never given the book, so I was always treated like I was a weird person.
So you said that certain music you would listen to, what kind of music would you listen to?
I listen to all different types. Most of the stuff that I listen to personally is just things from, well, my stepfather is from Ghana, so I listen to a lot of African music, and I also listen to, Korean R&B, as well as I listen to a few Japanese artists as well. So, you know, and I do, I'm not going to say I've never listened to the occasional rap song, but that's usually when I'm getting ready to go to a party and I'm trying to get myself in the mood. Otherwise, I've never been interested in that type of thing. And so people will go through my phone, and they will go through my iPod and be like, why are you listening to that? That's weird. And, you know, they'll laugh at me and be like, oh, you shouldn't listen to that kind of thing because you're black. You're supposed to listen to this. You're supposed to do that.
That's the funny part. It's like there are a lot of people who say that you're black by doing this, or you're black by speaking a certain way, or you're white by doing this, or white by speaking a certain way. Now, I've heard people, you know, say this before. For instance, let's say on a woman's standpoint, she have real good vernacular. She's clear in her speech. She won't even use contractions. She don't use no slang. And people will tell her, you're talking like a white girl. And I never understood that. Like, how, you know, white girls speak. I mean, that's kind of equating that in your mindset, only white people are the only ones that should speak clear English, but us as black folks, we can't do that. And to me, that comes from some sort of slave mentality, in my opinion, that blacks must be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel that black people can speak multiple languages, they can speak clear English or whatever, and there's no handbook to say who's black and who's not. Go ahead.
No, but if you actually think about it, there's just, for some reason, there seems like there is some type of book in my mind. It's like, oh, well, if you don't, like if you're a guy and you don't sag your pants, you don't listen to Future and Chief Keef, and you don't have dreads, and you're not tatted up, and you don't have snapbacks and the latest Jordans, then you don't fit the stereotype, and therefore you're a lame, or you're square, or you're not good enough.
I guess that's my problem, because I don't sag my pants, I don't listen to Future. I only like one Chief Keef song so far. I like more old school stuff, man. Like, one of my favorite songs right now is from Sugar Free, but now y'all ain't ready for Sugar Free. Anyway, so, you know, some of these dudes talking about snapbacks and tattoos. Like, I ain't got a single snapback or tattoo. Man, I want of them. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I don't worry about that. I mean, yeah, I listen to rap music. I ain't gonna lie. I do listen to rap music. I do listen to R&B. I guess I would be more so considered black in my music choices.
Mm-hmm.
But some things that say I may do, or how I may get down in certain things they may say. Let me tell you what happened to me one time.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that I am the black friend that white people have.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I said, wait a minute. I said, how you figure out, what do you mean by that? Well, because, you know, you will talk to a certain way and you will act a certain way. And I'm like, yeah, because I was taught that if you're in the hood, you act like the hood. If you're somewhere else, you speak the way they're speaking. You need mm-hmm. to be a chameleon wherever you go. You don't
exactly.
like, you know, I'm not going to bring that kind of language with them to the hood because they're like, they're going to look at me like I'm silly.
Exactly. But that's the one thing I actually love about being a black person is that I can be a chameleon. I can fit in anywhere in the world, pretty much. But it's strange that some people don't understand that they have to be able to do that. They think that, okay, well, I'm black, so I have to act this way no matter where I go, no matter what I'm doing. If I'm going to go in for a job interview, I still have to speak slang, and I still have to walk around with my tattoo showing and my five-star chick tattoo across my chest and the big old hoop earrings and the braids and everything else because I'm a black woman and I have to do this. Otherwise, you know, I'm not going to fit the standard.
And, you know, that's you mentioned job interviews. I've seen dudes walk in job interviews dressed any kind of way, and I'm like, why would you do that? And you know, to go in a job interview speaking like you're speaking with your friends somewhere, that's not the thing to do. And then if they don't hire you, say, oh, they don't want to hire me. Like, well, sometimes you may be bombed your interview based on how you're speaking. Because I don't even use slang at all when I'm doing a job interview. I'm looking directly at them. I'm answering them. I'm not turning away from them because I want them to look at and recognize I'm a man talking to you. I am not afraid of you. I don't care who you are or your position. I'll be professional with it, but that's the way you should do any type of interview. But you don't go in there with your pants, you know, sagging, or some, you know, go in there speaking like, you know, with your homeboys and stuff like that. I mean, that's not things you should do. And what I can't stand as a black man, that everybody has this mindset about what a black man should be, what a black man should like. Who a black man possibly should date. Everybody got something about the black man. You get what I'm saying? You got women sometimes of different races try to date us thinking black men should be a certain way, and that brother man ain't be like that. And that's stupid too. You know, stereotypes to think that we all a certain way. Even if you, you know, like I say, you may be Hispanic, and some people may look at you and wonder, you know, why you, you know, not like what they think Hispanics should be like. You know what I'm saying? And that's crazy.
True, true. I don't know much about the Hispanic stereotypes, but for the black stereotypes, I know.
There's
so many negative ones, too, for the black folks, because it's like the main ones are loud, ignorant, always causing a scene.
Like, oh, you're talking about black women, right?
Well, black men usually, black men, you know, it's that whole thug image, but then with black women, there's always the loud, ignorant, causing a scene. She's going to be, most likely, she's going to be a slut, and she's probably had, like, people look at me, and when I say I don't have any kids, they're like, are you gay?
They ask you, are you gay because you don't have children?
Yeah.
Someone
asked me that before. They're like, are you gay? It's like, dang, how you almost 21, you don't have kids? I was like,
man, they shocked. You
yeah.
have, oh, wow.
Well, I'm in the South, so, you know.
Wow.
But
well, I know, you know, but that happens the same thing too to black men, because if a black man, you know, say he's 30, whatever, said, nah, I ain't got to lick a kid. A female asks him, you know, are you gay? I'm like, why a man got to be gay if he don't want to have no kids? That guy is smart.
Yeah, exactly.
He don't need no kids right now. That is financial suicide to have kids with the system that we have in place called child support. Why in the world would you tie your money up like that?
Mm-hmm.
So the smart man would not have a child unless he is married. And if you're not going to get married, just don't even have kids at all. That's what I tell people. Just leave it alone. Get you a dog. It's much cheaper. You ain't going to pay no child support on a dog. Shoot, a vet bill. The vet bill ain't that expensive. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. I get a whole kennel of dogs before I go up there and have a bunch of kids.
But that's the stereotype, though. If a black man doesn't have kids, it's like, whoa. Especially at 30, like you said, that's just like, ugh.
Yeah,
society standards, that's crazy.
No, I can't say the rest of society, but I'm talking about at least black society.
Well, for black society, that's what
It's like, you know, you don't have no kids. Well, you know, is he, you know, are you gay? And the problem is a lot of black men are constantly trying to prove they're not gay by impregnating certain females to say, hey, you know, I'm not gay. Like, why a black man's masculinity is always questioned, and children is the validation that you're not gay. Like, they got...
That's stupid, because just because you can be a gay man and still have sex with women.
Exactly.
And have a baby. So that doesn't mean...
It doesn't
mean you can have 50 children and still be a gay man, so that doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. They got them to do it all the time. They can find a chick that's willing to have a kid for them, and they'll make an arrangement. So I don't know where that logic comes from that, oh, he must be gay because he don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, really? But then, but you're trying to make it sound like it's bad, you know, and I'm talking about the women. You're saying it's bad to be gay, but yet a lot of them got gay friends. That's men. So why
exactly.
are you trying
That's the funny thing. We might as well get on that topic, too, with the whole gay thing. Because for some reason in the black community, for a black man to be gay, that is just, like, the worst sin on the planet. But how many studs do we see out there, and no one ever says anything about it? That's
man-hating ones, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, though. Because you'll see studs at church, and nobody will say anything. But let a gay man come in there, they'll sit there and break out the holy water and start speaking in tongues and everything else.
Man, it's like, you know, I'm going to tell you about the black man. The black man is known throughout the world as the most masculine man on the planet, okay? And that's why there is a plan in place and always strategically try to feminize the black man. No matter what you say, he's the most masculine of all. Now, let's talk about the situation that you're talking about. Now, they had this one female I used to work with. She was a stud, black female, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I call her name. I don't care. Her name's Shantae. Anyway, she walking around here trying to cut her hair like a fade like mine and everything. I'm like, I'm cool. I'm cool with you. You can be whatever you want to be. I'm cool with you. You know, I thought she was all right. This brother, there was a supervisor there. This brother didn't play. You know what I'm saying? He tell you to do his job, you're going to do it. Or it's going to be hell to pay. So I never had a problem with brother. Brother always looked out for me every time I was at that place. Well, this brother get back off of vacation. He come back to work. They tell him he's suspended until further notice. He say, for what? And they say, oh, well, they'll let you know. So bring brother back in. He's suspended with pay, of course. Bring him back in. Tell him, well, it was a sexual harassment filed against you by an employee. So he had to know who. Say who? They told him Shantae. He said, are you serious? He said, are you serious? He said, hold on. Shantae? He said, of all people, say she don't even like guys. I said, what do you mean, her? And they said, no, I know what the problem was. I just told her to get to work, and she got mad and want to say that. He said, now, this is what she said. He said that, okay, if you go in front of somebody and you got an ink pen in your pocket, now, the uniform had pockets on each side of your chest.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
pen burst in her pocket. He didn't touch her. He didn't point at her. He was sitting at her like maybe about 7 feet away from her from his desk to where she's standing. He said, hey, your pen burst in your pocket. You probably want to change the shirt. She took that from a month prior because she got mad when he said a month later and went to the company and said that.
Oh, come on.
And so the brother had to sit at home a whole month straight with pay. And he said, oh, yes, I have. He came back to work and said, I have my lawyer. Oh, yeah. He said, because they wasn't going to get me on next. Like, I didn't tell that woman nothing, okay, at all. He said, come on. He said, man, I was so shocked, Shantae, then, when he got out. I said, Shantae, really? He said, really? Then I ran into that same female maybe about a month ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I seen her. She was with a black chick, her little girlfriend that she always been telling me about, her little girlfriend. I looked at the chick. I was like, really? I said, anyway, so I'm looking at Shantae. She coming my way, and I'm like, I know this female ain't about to walk past me. I said, I'm about to call her out. And so she walked. I said, Shantae, what's up? Oh, hey, what's going on? I said, nothing. I was looking. I said, I see you with your girl, huh? I said, yeah. I said, all right. So then then I was telling a dude, you know, I used to work with, I said, man, I seen Sean Tate the other day, dude. And he's like, man, she said that she saw you. You didn't say nothing to her. I said, you're lying heifer. I said, I called you. I made you talk. I said, he said, man, don't, man, come on. Well, yeah, try to get this man fired. The man been at that company over 20 years trying to get that man fired. Ain't that some BS?
Wow, I love how you put the voices on there, but still.
Well, no, I have to get into my stories, because, man, that situation just got on my nerves, man. To try to do that to a brother like that. You know, let's talk about other people trying to do stuff, but it's always black people always trying to throat cut black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me think she's going to be asking me questions about, oh, you know, how would you, you know, if you was in my situation, you know, would you get married to her and this? And I'm looking at her like, why are you asking me? I'm not no lesbian.
I don't know, Lord knows, I seen
a chick. I say, little chick, poor girl, Lord. And I read that chick. I say, she's playing games with her. I read her like in 2 seconds. I can always read the chicks who's truly gay and the chicks that's just playing around.
Mm-hmm.
I can always read them, just how they look. That, hey, look at you. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I've seen him before, too. I mean, this is kind of off topic, but I can't see when people are playing around. And it bothers me because I know people that are actually gay, and I hate to see them getting hurt by people that want to sit there and they want to
play around.
They want to play around because, oh, well, you know how, I don't know the rapper, they keep saying, oh, we like girls that like girls that like guys, and we like a bisexual chick, and so they'll jump on that bandwagon because it's the stereotype that, you know, it's sexy for a woman to be bisexual, but they'll sit there and get into these bullshit relationships, and then they'll sit there and end up hurting the actual gay person in the process.
Yeah, that's just crazy. Yeah. Oh, boy. People these days. And like I said, and speaking of stereotypes, people got stereotypes with gay people should be also.
Oh, yeah. Because I have, I actually know someone, one of my really close friends, she's actually a gay female, and you wouldn't know it because she's like, well, I'm a lesbian, but I don't let that define who I am as a person. I'm not going to sit there and put 1,000 rainbow stickers on my car and wear a wristband with a rainbow thingy on it, or, you know, outwardly discuss the fact that I'm gay, because that doesn't matter. And for a gay man, there's always that image of, you know, a gay man has to be flamboyant, he has to be loud, he has to speak in a falsetto. And he has to be walking around with booty shorts and combat boots in the summertime.
Like really, Ms. Gabriella, I did not need to hear that.
Whatever. But hush. But like that seems like that's the stereotype, but that's not even half the time that's not even the case, because when you see real gay people, they don't do that. You know? The ones that are really comfortable with their sexuality don't sit there and try to flaunt it. But you know, they feel like they have to go around and be this overly exaggerated gay caricature just because they feel like they're going to be more accepted by society. And oftentimes they are. Because if you see, there's a gay boy that I know. He has this, me and my friend nicknamed him the Super Saiyan.
Y'all call that boy Dragon Ball Z. Y'all call that boy Dragon Ball Z.
No, let me tell you why. Because he walks around with, like, he had this hairstyle. Like, he had dyed his hair platinum blonde. He black. He dyed his hair platinum blonde, and he walks around with some of the craziest outfits, crop tops and short shorts and stuff. But anyway, the funny thing is that he's accepted because he acts that way, because he's all over the top. But when somebody is just a regular gay person, it's like, look, I'm gay, but I don't, you know, I'm a regular old person, that doesn't mean anything. Those people are the ones that are treated badly for some reason.
Yeah,
that's just what I noticed.
I don't know. Everybody has, you know, they stereotypes of what they feel, you know, somebody should look like, somebody should be like, you know, or whatever. In this situation, let's say even with black men, about this swag thing, and I hate that word with a passion, but they feel that if this black man don't have that, he ain't a real brother. Now, who started this, you know, stereotype of the swag thing? Where'd that come from? Because that's a women thing. That's not a man thing. I don't care what you say. If women will turn you away if they think you don't have that, being a black man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Some girls are like, well, I don't want, you gotta have swag. You gotta have the snapbacks and the tattoos. With the funny, that's kind of funny too, because people feel like swag can be purchased. They feel like if they got the snapback, the tattoos, the dreads, and they walk around talking like,
Yo Son.
Whatever, I don't even know. I'm trying to name one of these rappers that sound real ignorant. Well, I don't know, Lil Boosie or one of them, I don't know. I don't listen to rap like that. Mm-hmm. But any of those Lil John, Lil Boosie, Lil Wayne, Lil whatever, they feel like they have to they feel like they have to look like that in order to get a woman's attention. But the funny thing is that any woman who's actually worth a damn isn't going to fall for that.
Yeah, that's the thing. But unfortunately, in the black community, if you don't have that, a lot of black women are going to turn you away. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get a lot of rejections from black women. Not all, but a lot of them you will. They'll say, mm-hmm. He's a cornball. I don't know about that. You know, be all Rob Parker all over the place talking about you a cornball brother. But then this is the kicker. When that same cornball brother make it, and he makes something of himself, oh, now he you want him.
Mm.
And then some of them same cornball brothers didn't fit the description of the swag, and, you know, another female get him, a white female or whatever, and then now all of a sudden, you sell out. Every time them Negroes get some money, they go get him a white woman. But the whole
thing,
when that nigga was broke, you didn't want him. You kept saying he wouldn't handle swag. He was kind of corny. He was, you know, lame. All this other stuff you're saying about him, just because he didn't meet the description of what you thought a black man is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, for me, I personally get offended if somebody's like, wow, you know, you're really not like how a lot of black people are. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
So people tell me that all the time. Like, when I'm just walking to class, they're like, oh, my God, you're so different. And I'm just like, just because I don't see myself as doing anything that different, but according to them, I don't fit the stereotype.
And
so,
I guess the stereotype in their mind is not a good one, so you need to say kudos to you, and that's a good thing.
I mean, actually, that's a good thing. And yeah, to me, it's good. I'm like, at least I don't carry myself like I'm just one of these stereotypical hood rats.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like, that's the thing. It's becoming the norm now. For, you know, black women to twerk, like saying that's a stereotype. It's a stereotype that black women are some sort of hood rat, a loudmouth ratchet chick, and that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's sad when you got sisters willing to call themselves ratchet.
Mm-hmm.
But and then you giving this stereotype to everybody, and then like that video I put up about that chick, Lil Debbie, with a song named Ratchet. And then now they calling you ratchet. Krayshawn's sister, Lil Debbie. Did you see that video?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they look like each other, too. And it's sad. I mean, you got all these people trying to attempt to have swag. And then the bottom line with the swag thing is they got a lot of dudes out here just so they can get black women. Talking about some black dudes. They'll sit over here and perpetrate a fraud. Like, prime example, Plies. Plies is playing a game. Plies is a college educator. But he got to dump himself down and be like he is now, with all them tattoos and everything else, just so he can appeal to the masses for the genre he's in.
I mean, speaking of fraud, Rick Ross is a fraud too, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, Rick Ross, he's another one. You know what I'm saying? All that lying he be doing in his albums, which it doesn't bother me because I don't look at Rick Ross as, oh, he do everything that he says he do in his music. I mean, come on, that's entertaining. That's no, like I say, it's no different than seeing Christian Bale play Batman. What, when I see him on the street, he supposed to be in a Batman uniform? That's the same thing. So Rick Ross is just an entertainer to me, and Rick Ross has put whatever he puts in his music just to sell records, which, like, in a way, I don't blame him. That's what he's supposed to be doing. I mean, you're kind of silly for believing him. His name is not even Rick Ross. So why should we believe the guy?
Well, I mean, some people think that they actually have to go out and do that. Like, they feel like, oh, well, if a rapper isn't doing that, like, if he's not really living that lifestyle, then you shouldn't take him seriously. You know, it's, oh, it's, all his music is fake. It's just radio rap, and he's not a good rapper. And, you know, he's not really out in these streets, and he's not selling drugs, and he's not a gang member. So, therefore, you know, he's not hard enough, and I can't listen to his music anymore. And I actually have friends that say things like that. They'll sit there and say, well, you know, even though so-and-so got shot and he died yesterday, you know, at least he was a real nigga. He was actually he was actually doing what he was saying.
That's the problem in our community. That's another theory. You know, we chase to be a real nigga so bad. Like, you know, no matter what, you're a real nigga. You know, people even joke about that. You know, no matter what, man, I'm always still a real nigga. You know, I mean, like, dog, like, I ain't fake. Like, who, like, really, who cares and who defines real, who defines fake anyway? Who issued that measuring stick? Cause I sure would like to see, you know, what's measured by it, what's real and what's fake.
Well, apparently a real nigga is exactly the definition of what a nigga is. Someone who's stupid, ignorant, and does things that are really going to end up killing you by the time you're 21. So apparently that's what it is. I don't know.
Shoot, I remember one of the funniest things I've ever seen online. A dude said that he, you know, he got four kids, and he said it's his American right to be a deadbeat dad because he a real nigga.
Who says something like that?
I'll tell you. You see the things I've seen online, people say on Twitter, it's just crazy. And of course, it was a black dude. Gonna say something stupid like that. Talking about he a real nigga because this is American right to be a deadbeat dad. Oh, man, but the thing is, these stereotypes, at least in the black community, that's put on us, it's nothing good at all. And, you know, we always fighting to rise above these stereotypes. You get what I'm saying? You don't want to, you know.
Well, you can't say we. It's like, it seems like there's like a small little group of people that want to fight against it, and then the majority of people are the ones that actually perpetrate these stereotypes.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you on that. You know, well, I'm one of the ones that's in the small minority because I do not want to be labeled some pants hanging, you know, Negro, which I don't hang, sag my pants whatsoever. Never got into that. I think that's stupid. You know what I'm saying? So you want to see somebody sag their pants. Oh, boy, I'm glad I just thought about that. I'm going right back to Shantae again. So I was at work one day, and doggone it, I was going to relieve Shantae. That doggone Shantae had a pants sagging. I said, I just heard.
Yeah. Women cannot say, okay, women should
no,
really,
no, 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 no,
it does not
no, you don't
matter.
Get
women
it. Don't get it. This chick.
I don't care if you look like a man, you should not sag your pants.
No, this chick did like a dude. They're like, man, I felt the same way I feel if I came around the corner and see a dude doing that. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, it's like that. So she looked, because she looked like a dude. Like, real talk, man, look like a dude. Let's see, hold on a second. Eric Cole 404. You on the show? How you doing? Eric Cole 404, you on the show?
Nah, I'm just listening right now, bro.
Okay, man. Anyway, yeah, but I was mad. So I thought, so you know, the same dude I was telling you about. I said, man, I said, I come around the corner, doggone Shantae. I said, she had a pants sag, and he said, if she have her pants like that again, you let me know. He said, because no, she wasn't pull her pants up. Ain't no guy around here could walk around like that. That's not part of the uniform. I said, well, I don't know. I was kind of mad. <You know? laughs> Oh, man, I got so many stories I can tell you from people I've dealt with on jobs. You just be, you know, a trip. But, you know, it's messed up, you know, how, you know, we are labeled, you know, as criminals by stereotype. You know, every time cops see, you know, asking us if we got a warrant, you know, automatically because, you know, black men are criminals. You know, black men, they go into elevators with, you know, certain people. They want to start clutching their purses. Like, I remember that happened to me one time. I told this story before. I was in an elevator with this, you know, older white lady, and she's kind of looking at me funny, clutching her purse. And I looked at that woman, I'm like, man, when I got my wallet right now worth whole more than your outfit and that purse together. So why in the world are you looking like? I was like, and the thing is, if I wanted her purse, do you think she could stop me?
Exactly. If you really wanted it, you could put a gun in her face and play.
I wouldn't have to do that. Just snatch it. True, that's what I wanted to do. Yeah, they gonna put no gun. I mean, what's she gonna do? That's the thing. See, like, just be cool with people. Like, you make somebody want to do yourself when you're acting like that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, brothers got to deal with that because it's a stereotype that, you know, all black men steal. You know what I'm saying? And where they come up with that from? Because last time I checked, slave master stole a whole lot more than we stole. We never stole nobody's land. We never stole no people from nobody. So, last time I checked, we are lagging behind big time.
True.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, let me ask you a question. What's the biggest stereotype you can't stand that's directed at black women? What's the main one?
What's the whole thing? Because there's actually been studies that have shown that black women are the most raped group of women in the whole world. And it's because the media keeps pushing this image that all black women are easy and we're all very whorish and we'll sleep with any man that'll come our way. And so I even, like, in my experience, I actually had a man who, he was, like, he got angry with me because he was so used to women throwing themselves at him that he expected me as a black female to just sit there and just jump in the bed with him right away.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, that's what the stereotype is. And I can't stand it because when there's women that are like myself that aren't hoish, we all get lumped into this group. It's like, well, all black women twerk, all black women sleep with every man that comes their way. Every black woman has multiple kids by multiple different men because we sleep with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that really bothers me. And then it makes it hard, too, and when you're trying to date people and you're trying to get to know people, because people are just, especially these days, you can't even go on a date without someone trying to take you to a hotel anymore because they feel like, as a black woman, that's what you're supposed to do.
You know, I can honestly say I never went that route when I went out on dates. It's like, that's the last thing that'd be in my mind because I guess I was the type of dude, I was trying to get to know you because, man, I don't even know what you got. And that's just kind of how I think a lot. You know what I'm saying? And when you get to that point in your life as a man that you're not hard up for sex like that, like, mm-hmm. That's a powerful position to be in as a man. See, when you are in that stage, you thirsty, and you always just want sex, and you can't get enough of it, that's when you start acting like dudes that you're talking about. It's, oh, well, I know she gonna give it up for this and then the third. That's why I tell dudes, don't take, you know, women on no expensive dates or anything like that, so you, in your mind, don't get an obligation of this. You should give me something with all this money I spend. Shoot. You know what I'm saying? And but, you know, it's sad that some of these chicks, you know, do trick out for a meal. And that's
kind of sad because it's like, well, you really think you're only worth $100 meal, but apparently they think that's all they're worth. So
$100, shoot, maybe a 2 for $20 at Chili's.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I mean, some people, you said in the drink, but some people really do stuff like that. They actually will sit there and think they actually came up. It's like, ooh, girl, he done took me to. He done took, what, I don't know, a nice restaurant. He took me to Olive Garden, and we went back to this place. We did what he did, and this, and that, and they sit there and brag about it. It's like, you really think that that's something to brag about? Wow, you got a free meal. But, I mean, in their mind, they really think they're doing something.
Yeah,
and then they have their little hood rat friends will sit there and big up them and cheer them on, too.
And then them same hood rat friends will hear all that, and them hood rat friends will be trying to howl at the same dude.
Exactly.
And trying to get a meal out of him and see, hey, they can get something from him, too. But they be like, shoot, she ain't got to know. Like, really?
They're like, yeah, what your girl won't know won't hurt her as long.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I just hear her talking about you and stuff, and I just kind of want to see what was up. Like, yeah, I'm like, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? But, the stereotypes, you know what I'm saying, that come along now. Do you think the stereotypes comes from within the community itself, or it's more so it comes from outside, or both?
I think the problem with that is that it seems like these stereotypes are things that we've done for us. Like, we've almost given the world these images that we don't want to be represented by. Like, women keep saying, okay, well, I don't want to be viewed as a whore, but then you have, like, you'll sit there and look up twerk videos on YouTube, and there will be pages upon pages upon pages of black women bent over, shaking their ass, making these videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be, you know, at the beauty supply store that I go to, there'll be women, like, the ladies sit there, and they'll look at me like I'm, like, they're scared that I might steal something, because there's so many people that come in before and after me that will sit there and steal. So these stereotypes do come from within, and there's so many things that we as a people do that are negative that the whole world now views us this way.
So you feel the sins of many affect the few?
Well, I mean, pretty much. And then it's hard for the people that actually are, that aren't like that.
Trying to ask a different call here that came in. I always have an issue with that, Ms. Gabriella, with Skype. Anyway, what you were saying?
I don't even remember because I was on a roll.
You was on a roll, huh?
Exactly. But, yeah. It does seem like the sins of few do affect the many, because it's like, it's actually the sins of many that affect the few, because it's people like me that don't fit these stereotypes
mm-hmm.
that are looked at as, well, number one, on the side of the black community, I'm treated like I'm crazy because I don't act this way. And then from the rest of the world, people will look at me and they expect me to behave a certain way because of the way that I, you know, because I'm a black woman.
Yes. And that's not right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, say everybody has their, you know, way of being, and we shouldn't, you know, be like that. And, you know, we should be judged as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Not as, you know, people who, oh, well, we all the same. Because what a few brothers did, you know, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk about the Koreans or whatever, you go to shop at, which, you know, that's an issue in itself with the Koreans. Why they follow you so much? I mean, they can't tell by your appearance that, hey, maybe this person may not be the one that steal. I mean, they can't tell that, or they just treat everybody the same.
I mean, they don't follow. I've never been followed around the store. Like, whenever I go in myself, I've had people, like, they'll sit there way at the front of the store, and I could shop around the whole store for, like, an hour, and they won't say anything to me. But whenever, I mean, you can actually tell when a hood rat's coming in, because they'll actually will follow those people around, because they may be likely to steal, which is kind of sad that you have to dress a certain way and act a certain way so that you won't be chased around the store.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is kind of off topic, but what I've noticed is that there seems to be this thing that people do in my area. Well, they'll bring in, like, it'll be like the Tancresha, and she'll bring her homegirl with her. Tancresha will be sitting there starting a scene with the person that owns the store, and then her friend, Bequivia, will go in the back and then go and start stealing things.
Bequivia. Oh, wow.
Whatever. But Bequivia will steal stuff from the back, and she'll fill up her bag and fill up her little purse with all the stuff that she wants, and then by the time the owner of the store is finished trying to figure out whatever is going on, they've already made off with hundreds of dollars worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's kind of sad, actually, when you think about it. But, you know, it does seem like, I'm not going to say that all, but people with those kind of names do seem to fit a certain behavioral pattern.
Yes. And that's sad. You know, we naming our kids all these names and stuff like that. And it's crazy. It is so crazy. Let me see how I can. You remember the sister they called from out of the country?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was trying to actually get through. And so I'm trying to get her back on the line. You know, like the one with the accent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm trying to see if I can get her back on the line here. Let me see if I can get her back on. So you say Shaquita and Bomquisha and all them other ones, huh?
Pretty much.
Now, you know, I noticed about some of these names. Who making up these names?
Well, it's the hood rats. Like, that's just a given.
Hood rats. That's funny. So the hood rats, they just doing us all in, doing us all bad, huh?
Because they come up with these names. They're like, oh, I want my kids to be unique, and I'm going to combine the first three letters of my name and the first three letters of her sister's name and then the last three letters of her dad's name, and then we'll come up with a name out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually seen people do stuff like that, and they'll come up with some of the craziest names ever. And then they'll get mad when people assume that they're a certain type of way. But if your name is Laquandra, people are, you know, it's going to be hard for people to respect you.
Exactly.
Even if you're not like that, you could be one of the most sweetest, kindest people ever, but if when they hear that name, they're going to think automatically, she's going to be loud, she's going to cause a scene, she's going to, you know.
Yeah, like, for instance, you know, they had a young man, Mr. Wright, are you on? I guess he, I thought that was wrong. Anyway, you hear them names like your little boy. Who is his name on that thing to do something named Latarian? Like, Latarian, really? Like, I'm firmly believing that, you know, when they don't have dads around, they have these old weird names. Like, seriously. Because, you know, I don't know what man will sit there and let his son be named these weird names. Now, I know you wouldn't name your son nothing weird names, huh?
No. Like, I actually want my kids to have a chance for a future, but...
Hi.
Hi, Miss Friday. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. You want to join in the conversation about stereotypes?
Yes.
Okay. What's your mindset on stereotypes?
Well, Miss Gabrielle was talking just now about the names. And on my point of view, I don't feel like people should change how they want to name their children, because I've seen in the industry in America, one of the actors, she named her daughter like Apple, and one of them have the daughter named Rainbow. So why else we black people should change our children's name? Like, if we want to name our children, we have the rights to name our children what the heck we want. And I just find, like, that's really low for people to say, oh, you should change your children's name. No, everybody should do what they want. We should just stop stereotyping people. Basically, that's it. Because here in Holland, when I walk in a shop, I see a lot of people stealing, and it's mostly white. I could stand up there and watch a lot of them stealing, but they would look at us when we go in a shop, and I find that it's ridiculous. It's just that we have to stop stereotyping each other, and until that day, it wouldn't. This whole thing going to be one whole cycle again of racism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Ryder. What stereotype did, as a black woman, from a different country, what mm-hmm. stereotype you don't like the most that you receive as a black woman in a different country?
Oh, well, in Holland, they call us niggers.
To your face?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. They call you nigger to your face?
Yes. My boyfriend, where he works, they call him nigger, and he and my brother work together, so that they would go and he boss would say, hey, my boyfriend is Kevin and my brother is Michael. So my brother looked like Eddie Murphy. He looked like the son from Eddie Murphy, so everybody just say that. So when you and my boyfriend, he is a little lighter than my brother and shorter, and my brother's tall. So the boss from them would go by my boyfriend and say, hey, Michael. But my boyfriend is Kevin. And he would go by my brother and say, hey, Kevin. And my brother is Michael. And they would do that for spite. And they work in there for about, let me see, about 5 to 6 years, mm-hmm. 6 years now. And they work in there together. They start working at the same time. And, yeah. And they would say, oh, you all look alike. So, you know, make it as a joke. But it's not a joke because they're always calling them niggers in front of the face. And it's like, everybody is nigger up here. And when they're black, they just call you nigger in front of your face. And I don't like it, period. And I already told my boyfriend, I can't be around people like that. I can't stand it because I will say something. And I don't want to get him fired, so I try to keep my calm and put on my smiley face. And like my boyfriend said, you have to kiss ass to reach somewhere.
Wow. That wouldn't last long here in America. Somebody would got beat up pretty quick.
Yeah, but then, you know, but as a black person, they're the minority, so the majority can treat them that way. I actually knew somebody who was a black woman who went from Ghana to live in Russia to study, and they were calling her, she and her brother were sitting at a store, and they were eating bananas, and then somebody had walked by and was like, oh, well, you know, you monkeys, you guys are enjoying your bananas, ha, 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 you know, in their native language.
Mm.
And they're supposed to, you know, of course, since they were the minority group, they can't stand out and say anything.
That's crazy. I guess, I don't know, I guess I've never been in a situation like that. You know, I've always been in America, like I said, my whole life or whatever, and there's always, you know, a good amount of black folks, you know, at least where I live, you get what I'm saying. But, you know, I mean, y'all have no civil rights leaders in Holland?
They don't really care about black people. They have one. They had a man who was trying to get all the different culture from black and those Turks and people out of Holland. And he actually went to England, and they kicked him out of England. The people from England didn't want him, so he's banned from England. But in Holland, he's like a hero to them.
Really? Well, I know. I heard something about England that, like, Louis Farrakhan, he came and go over there. I heard something about that.
Hmm.
They didn't want him over there in London or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I saw some of the dudes from over there that was in the Nation of Islam talking about it.
Yeah, they kicked him out.
You know. But this is what I'm saying. How is it that y'all can live comfortably in countries like that, knowing that they treat you that way? It's just real. It's mind boggling.
You know, it's really mind boggling. But if you get, sometimes you could switch your brain off when you're on the street. You put a smiley face on you. Like we put a mask on. That's what we say. We put a mask on, and at home we take off that mask and we be ourselves. Because you can't be around them as the way you is because they wouldn't accept you. But my brother, my boyfriend, he is so good at doing it. It's so amazing. He always, when he was in accident, and normally these the majority of the white people, they wouldn't come to your bedside in the when you're sick, and he changed a lot of people on his job. He changed a lot of them from thinking the way that they think about black people, and so they actually came to his job and they actually bring him flowers and say nice things. But he still say that he would never, ever accept one of them as his best friend because he doesn't trust them. He doesn't trust none of them because any day they could just, you know, switch on you like a snake.
Mm-hmm.
And they could bite you like a snake, basically like that. So he doesn't trust them.
Wow. So basically what y'all dealing with over there is blatant racism. It's not even a stereotype thing like here. Of course, we deal with racism here in America. I mean, there's plenty of that. Go ahead.
And we don't, and it's right in front of our face, so it's not like they're doing it behind our back. If it was doing it behind our back, it would be more normal. I don't know. But they're doing it in front of our face, so it's like we get immune to it in a way. And it's kind of, it'll destroy you sometimes. It'll put you, like, so low sometimes, like, you want to just strangle one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it on the radio, sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. You can say whatever you want to say.
Yeah, you want to strangle them sometimes, but, yeah.
Now, Ms. Gabrielle, let me ask you a question. How would you feel living in a place like this?
I mean, I lived in Germany, so I know what it's like.
Uh-huh.
But you kind of just ignore it after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because there have been times when I was out with me and my friend who was from Ghana, and I had two friends from Ghana, and we would go out, we would leave the military base and just go out and go downtown and do things. And then there'll be a group of German kids, and they'll sit there and start blasting some old Little Wayne or some, I don't know the songs that they were playing in the 2000s, but they would play some old rap music, and then they'll start laughing. It's like, oh, and they'll start dancing. It's like, oh, well, they expect us to, I don't know, go over there and dance with them, or I don't know what they were trying to do with that. But they, of course, they were, you know, trying to insult us and say, oh, well, this is the kind of music that you like, so you should, you know.
And did any of them call you nigga to your face?
Not to my face, but I just kind of ignored it. That's like what Sharida said. You kind of just put this mask on and just kind of let them do whatever. And you don't feel it after a while.
So even though, let's say, you said the military base, so the black men that's in from the U.S., they sit up there, they have to deal with it too?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a black man, so I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, you're saying you was over there. I'm just saying, you said the military base and everything, and obviously, he was on the base, so I'm pretty sure there's other, you know, brothers there.
Hey, everybody had to deal with the racism. It's the same thing the same thing that would happen to me is the same thing that would happen to them. But more, it actually would affect the Africans that were living there more than it would just the regular black Americans.
And why would it affect them more?
Because, well, for the most part, a lot of the Africans that were living there, some of them were illegal, some of them were cheating the system. And there was a lot of them who were just, well, cheating the system. Where they would do this thing where they would live over there, and then they would have a bunch of kids. And then you're not supposed to be, if you're a woman, you're not supposed to be working if you have children, because the government will give you money for each child that you have. But a lot of the women there would be working and be getting the, like, I think it was, I don't know how much money it was, but they would get like a certain amount of, like, a couple hundred dollars, or I think it was $1,000 per kid or something crazy like that. They would be getting money from the government, and they would be working too. And so they knew better than to speak out, because it's like, well, I'm doing something illegal, so I might as well, I might as well just keep my mouth shut and just take this.
Okay. Now, you know, this is the thing here. Like, that's crazy. You know, it's crazy how they just have a a global hatred for black folks. I mean, it's crazy to hear that.
And you know, you want to know why?
Go ahead. I want to hear why.
The reason why is because the images that we put out. It's like we every single time it's a black that there's a black woman or a black man doing things. You know, that are these things that are being put out. It's always negative. It's always, you know, they have MTV. They got World Star Hip Hop. They have, you know, they can go on YouTube and watch these twerk videos. They know what the twerk team is, you know. And so when they see, like a lot of them have never, ever, ever seen a black person before in their life. And so all they know is, you know, the things that they've seen on the internet. And then they're going to assume that, okay, well, you're a black person, so this is how you are.
But what's crazy and silly about that is that people of all nationalities do crazy things. Everybody commit crime. White people commit crime. Hispanics commit crime. Asians commit crime. Everybody commit crime, okay? Everybody do something hood or ghetto. They got white people that be fighting in Austin on 6th Street all the time. I've even put up videos of it, okay? So why white people aren't looked at in the same way then? Because they got the videos out on them too. If you going off of that, if they going off the hatred off of that logic alone, that's a flaw. Because you have to say, well, white people do the same things, or Hispanics do the same things also, and they got the videos out on them. So why us and not nobody else?
Because that's what the media stream trying to bring. They're trying to bring a negative point across. So they have to make the white seem as supreme, and the black seems like the scum of the earth. That's basically what I think.
Mm-hmm. So basically, what you're saying is what we need to start bringing out news reports of what white people do.
That's basically what we have to do, because if we don't show what they do. Nobody with they look how the black men, some of the black men are on YouTube. They see what we do, but they don't see what white women do. Because I, for surety, know what these white women do up here. A lot of them. I had friends when I was I had friends who say when I was going out to a party, and me and this girl. And her sister, and we was getting ready. So she have a black boyfriend from Curacao, and the younger one have a black boyfriend from Curacao, and the bigger one have a Dutch boyfriend. And so I asked the sister, the younger sister who dating the black dude, why are you dating a black boy? So she say, the reason why I'm dating a black boy is because if he do anything to me, and he was a little older, she was 15 and he was like 20 something, can't remember exactly, but he was in his 20s. And so she say, if he ever do something to me and he ever dump me, she could always tell her father that he beat her, and she could put marks on her skin easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my mother this, and my mother told me she don't want me to be around those girls because they would just bring me trouble. And I used to be so angry with my mother when she told me, oh, I don't want you to be around certain type of people. But now that I reach a certain age and I see what she was talking about, I know how I am now. I was glad that I had a good mother to teach me not to do and not to follow people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's making me, you know, hearing what you're saying about the images, you know, or the media and images were being put out, you know, it's making me think a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, for instance, the stories I put out is what people a lot of times send me, or they want to say, yeah, man, can you talk about this? And a lot of times black people want to hear about what black people are doing.
Yeah.
This is my point of view. And a lot of times, it's not that I just try to search out stories just on black people. I try to search out stories that, you know, may be pretty good or maybe somebody that can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, I'm putting up a story tonight, okay, by the police officer that brought a target of Trayvon Martin to a shooting range. Tried to give it to two other people there. They turned to me. Okay, just mm-hmm. like I say, he was a white police officer. So I don't know. As things stories come in, that's kind of how I do them. But you know, you saying that the rest of the world thinking that we are a certain way based on what put out there. Now let me ask you a question. Since you're from a different country, you look at certain videos on YouTube or whatever, and it's showing some just bad things about black people. Maybe that black person could really be seeing a lot of negativity in mm-hmm. it. I mean, how does that message go across, you know, to you as a foreign black woman?
Well, sometimes it does offend me in a kind of way because I like, but don't they have good things, you know? Don't they have other videos like good things that they could show a black person doing something good in the community or something? But then again, in another point of view, I'm seeing what the new generation is doing and the corruption they are doing for the coming generations after them. So it's a kind of double standard. It's a kind of double-edged sword, as you could say.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes, you know, in my opinion, I feel that we need to, you know, show what is really going on out there. And but like you said, at the same time, we showing it, but it's showing an image of our people that, you know, basically living up to a stereotype. Oh, well, look, there you go. The wild, loudmouth black women are looking at black men. They killing folks. They being criminals. They doing this. They doing that. Living up to every stereotype they have, you know, about black people. So, now, Ms. Gabrielle, I'm asking you a question since you said this, and from your point of view also. I mean, do you feel the images that we put out there is having this great effect even in the African world also?
In the African world, I mean, the images that we do put out as, let's just say, the black media, yeah, it does affect Africans. Like, when I go back home when I go back to Ghana, people expect me, they expect me to talk about Rick Ross and Drake, and it's like, oh, you know Drake, you know Rick Ross. They don't really talk about twerking and stuff, but they think that all black American men are thugs, and all black women are ghetto and hood rats, and, you know, they don't look at me and expect me to behave a certain way, because if I was, you know, if I'm an American, I come over there, of course I have money. But then from, like, when they leave Africa and they come to the U.S., they already have these preconceived ideas that, you know, all black people are the way that the media portrays us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point about the media. And they had an article in Holland that they do on Rihanna. She was up here for a concert. And they did an article. This white lady did a little piece in a magazine, and she said Rihanna, the ghetto black chick. Look what our children have to look up to now. And that break my heart so bad. I don't listen to Rihanna. I don't like music, so. I don't really do music, so it really breaks my heart to see that they say that. I know a lot of things about the celebrities, but I don't like the music. So to hear that, it stabbed me in my heart, you know, for a magazine to come out and say the ghetto black chick, and look what she's doing to the kids. And it was a white woman, and actually, a lot of people in Holland who are black protest against that. And you know what? They gave the woman a promotion, and now she's the head of the company.
But see, this is what I don't understand. Like, if they say black women are sluts and black women are whores, hold on. They got more white women doing it than anybody. But yet, a white woman could be a porn star, a stripper, and then she could turn around and be a housewife, and nobody's not going to say nothing. They're going to say, oh, well, that was her past. You know, so, you know, I mean, we shouldn't be talking about that. But if a black woman does the exact same thing, she would never live it down.
That's the thing. They idolize Kim Kardashian for her beauty and her ass, but they call Rihanna a ghetto black bitch. And that's what she's doing to our children. But Kim Kardashian, she has a sex tape out. If I'm not mistaken, she had a sex tape out. So, and the another one who had a sex tape out, Paris Hilton. All the kids was like so obsessed with her. Everything, her perfumes, her everything that she bring out, even her book, Paris Hilton book. Everybody was so annoyed, obsessed with that girl. Mm. And now is the next one, the Kim Kardashian girl. So it's like, it's really a double standard, because if you're not light-skinned or you're not white, you are wrong. You're not right in this world. So you can't survive by being who you really are. You have to be put on, like I say, put on a mask and pretend to be somebody else.
I don't know. I don't, you know, me personally, I just don't agree with that, because I'm not going to live my life according to what other people say a black man should be. I'm going to be who I feel that I need to be and screw everybody else that don't think that, well, a black man shouldn't be acting like that. Or I'm not going to be tap dancing for nobody. And that's what they want. A lot of times they want us to tap dance and live up to these particular stereotypes within our people. And see, the thing is, it's up to us as black people not to allow others from the outside and even those within our community to tell us how to think and feel about ourselves and how to even, you know, identify, you know, with ourselves. Like, if they don't receive us for whatever reason, then forget them. We should be cool. You know, every individual should be happy and content with themselves, because you can't change other people. But we should be able to be individuals. We should be able to express ourselves the way we should express ourselves. And we shouldn't let society, you know, put us in a box. So stereotypes is a box.
Can I ask you one question?
Sure.
If you was living up here and you had long hair and you had it in like you had like long hair like in how you call that, braids,
braids,
right?
Braids.
Yeah, and you had that. And you go to look for work, and you're looking for work for almost a year, and you're not finding anything, and everybody say they're not hiring no one, and all of a sudden you just decided to cut your hair, and you go back to the same places and ask them, are you hiring? First, they would treat you like, no, we're not hiring. They wouldn't even give you a chance to speak. And now that your hair is cut and you're neat and you dress up and you came in and you speak in the same way, but they ask you, do you want some coffee? Do you want to sit down? You know, we are hiring. You know, they would take their time to actually leave you speak and give you the resume and ask you questions about yourself. That's when they're going to take the time to listen to you. As a black man up here, when you have those braids in your hair or anything, you cannot get a job, because my boyfriend and my brother went through the same thing, and nobody take them seriously. As soon as they cut their hair, they went back to the same place. And they tell them, oh, come in. Do you want some coffee? Come in and sit down, you know. They take them seriously. Soon as they have no hair. And a white man do it. He have long hair. He have raggedy clothes. He have his pants sagging. And he gets a job in a snap.
Same thing happened here in America. That's no different. To be honest, it's no different. If a brother show up with some certain hairstyles that they don't feel is fitting for their business, he won't even get an interview. But if a clean cut, what we would call clean cut brother, go in, you know, with his fade, his, you know, nice clothes, stuff like that, he would get an interview fast. Yeah, the same thing happened here in America. It's no different.
And that's why I really say that people should stop stereotyping, and we should start. Since they want to show bad about us, we should do back. That's what I'm just saying. I just think that they want to show bad, we should show bad about them. Show how they do bad, because they're always doing bad. It's just that nobody watched it.
And let me tell you something. The stories are out there. The stories are out. Yes, they are. You can look at any news organization, and every day the media is reporting stories that what everybody does, black, white, you know, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. You can just look at any local news channel and see that here in America.
Yeah, about that. The one with the movie killing, the boy who shoot up the movies in America.
Mm-hmm.
I see that they really say that he was a suspect and he came out with a gun or something like that, and they had him as a suspect, and the other dude who was a cop and he killed some cop family or something like that. I don't really...
Allegedly killed.
Allegedly, yeah, thank you. And they say that they had to kill him because of the... they burned the place down by mistake, sorry. They burned it down by mistake.
They didn't do it by mistake, they did it on purpose.
I know they did it by purpose, but my thing is, they applaud... They say the white dude... was a suspect, but he had the guns, he had everything, and his hand. He had a mask. The people let him see his face. The people let how you say that? Identify him and say that it was he. And yeah, and they say he was a suspect still. I don't get it. But the other one, He's such a criminal because he's going against what you did. So.
I get what you're saying. Basically, what you're saying is, why is it that that guy, John Holmes, I mean, the police caught him with the gun, everybody seen him shooting, he even was allowed to give himself away. Now, when it comes to most people, the cops will blast him away. But they let him give himself up versus Christopher Dorner, who allegedly, and I say allegedly because he was not... He was not tried on anything. No evidence was presented that he did anything they said he did. And the L.A., San Bernardino police, you know, murdered him. Okay, it was on the table. They said to burn it down. So, you know, like I said, that tape's out there. I even have it on my YouTube channel with a video where they murdered that man. That's why I look at him as kind of like an American hero. Okay, what you
Me
say?
Me too. I look at him as a hero because I say if the cops doing something bad and they're killing your family, kill the family back. Hunt them down and do the same damn thing because they don't deserve to live if they're doing the same thing. Why should they have privilege over guns and criminals and you can't do the same thing? I don't understand it. So,
yeah.
I
definitely get what you're saying, but you know, it's, you know, to backtrack to the topic, you know, it always goes back to stereotypes. The stereotypes is this, even with how people look at each other in this nation, is that, you know, oh well, I'm better than you, and so automatically you're beneath me, and it doesn't matter what happened to you. Like for instance, you know, me and Ms. Gabriella was talking about that Boston explosion that happened today, the bombs that blew up. And like I said, of course, that's a sad thing. That's very sad. You don't want people to die, people that got injured. Now, people have been messaging me about talking about that and everything. And I said I will as I get more information on it. I didn't want to just come out in preliminary, put a video out. But at the same, and they're going to say it's a national tragedy, and President Obama already got on TV. But at the same time, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of kids who are being killed every day in these cities in America. Just like the Sandy Hook shooting. You know, they had more kids and people killed in the city of Chicago last year than what happened at Sandy Hook. But what happened at Sandy Hook, now you want gun legislation. So all before, when there's a bunch of minorities getting killed, it's okay. But when the other group gets killed, now you want legislation. And this is the issue that, you know, issues that we have, and that's why a lot of people are upset with President Obama, is because he don't address, you know, these issues as he should. So now, like I said, do people ever look at you and say that any type of stereotype to say, oh, you know, black people should act like this or black people should act like that. Are you different than what a stereotype would say?
Well, people call me Oreo, so it's kind
of... Why would they call you Oreo?
Because I don't act like how I'm supposed to act, I guess.
And how are you supposed to act?
Maybe I'm black. Maybe they want me to act more black. I don't know.
And how do you act black?
That's the question. I don't even know. I don't eat chicken, and they say...
You don't eat chicken, fried chicken? You don't eat watermelon?
No. No.
I said to myself, and I got to remember, I said, the next time I seen some white people picking up watermelon, I'm going to snap their picture in Walmart. I said, white people eat watermelon too. Because, man, we ain't the only one to be eating watermelon, the only one to be eating chicken.
Yeah. So people look at me, I'm completely different, like I'm an alien or something.
So what kind? Okay, so what kind of music do you listen to?
I don't listen to music.
You listen to no music at all? None?
No. Girl, I'm a weirdo.
You what?
I'm a weirdo.
I wouldn't say that. That's just kind of hard. I gotta listen to music. Like you don't when you go work out, you don't listen to no music?
No. I like mostly looking up about. I like to learn. So it's basically I spend my days learning and learning new things. So I don't have time for music, and I don't like it.
Wow, so I guess you don't even have an iPod then.
I have one, but I don't listen to it. My boyfriend get it for me for Christmas, and I just have it there. It's just there as a, I don't know, for
wow.
Nothing.
Gabriella, I think that's the first person I've ever met that said they don't listen to music.
I mean, I actually know someone who doesn't listen to music. I know people that don't watch TV. I mean, it's just personal preference, really.
Yeah, you know, I watch TV, but it has to be a show I recorded on DVR. Because DVR has got me, like, so spoiled that, like, I don't want to sit there through commercials. So I just, you know, fast forward my show. Matter of fact, She Live and Hip Hop Reunion came on tonight.
Lord. Yeah. See, that's the reason. See, that's the reason why people think that we black.
I love the hip hop.
Yeah, that honestly, because when I was in Ghana, a lot of the stuck up kids and the stuck up rich kids, they watch the Kardashians, and they watch Love and Hip Hop, and they watch whatever, all the popular reality TV shows that we have out, and they, you know, they think that, well, not only do they imitate this behavior, but they think that this is how we're supposed to act. So, I mean, I have a reason for disliking shows like that. It's not because I have anything against the people, but it's just that whenever I travel out, you know, when I leave the U.S., people always look at me and it's like, oh, do you know Beyonce?
So you could be the most famous person in Ghana and say, yeah, I know Beyonce. So we had lunch in Houston the other day.
I mean, I could lie. I mean, I know people that do stuff like that. They pretend that they know these celebrities to get attention. But that's neither here nor there. But it's the reason why I have a problem with these reality shows is that it just makes us look so bad. Because I know you say, oh, we shouldn't be judged by the people on TV. But unfortunately, people that have never had contact with a black person their whole life and probably will go their whole life without ever seeing a black person, they might think that this is what we really act like because they've never met us before to even say that, okay, this is black people don't really act like this.
Well, Ms. Gabriella, have you ever seen Bad Girls Club before?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of white girls on there with some black and some Hispanic, but there's a lot of white girls on there. So what's the explanation? Why white girls don't look that way? Because they on the Bad Club, Girls Club every season.
That's the strange part about it, though, is that the white ones aren't really, the white girls and the Latinas aren't really memorable. I always, for some reason, I always end up remembering the black ones because even though everybody is on there acting trashy and acting nasty, it's always the black girls or it's always the black ones that are just extra. Like, they put extras on whatever they do. Like, they don't sit there and, you know, if everybody's going to go out and start dancing, the black one has to be the one to push everybody to the side, jump in front, and then start, you know, and pull her dress up and start dancing. Or she'll, if everybody's cursing, she's going to make up her own curse words and start yelling louder than everybody else.
I don't know, but I'm basically going off of what you're saying. You're saying they're looking at TV, they assume, they're saying that black people in America are this way, and they get it from TV. And what I'm saying is, it's not about black people being extra, it's the fact of what you said that with people in different parts of the world going on. Well, if that's the case, then when they see bad girls coming and see the white girls doing it, they would have to say, oh, well, white girls, or if they see Jersey Shore, Italian girls, or whatever. I mean, it's a lot of shows that showing white girls acting a fool. I mean, it's not like every show they put out that white girls are in, they're acting all classy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's countless shows that's been out where they're doing the same thing. So that's what I'm saying. How is it that white girls aren't looked at in that light, but black girls are, when they're doing the exact same things on television?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got white girls on Bad Girls Club getting drunk. They up there, you know, cheating. They doing all kind of stuff they doing on that show. But
mm-hmm.
but nobody's saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones you really remember off of Bad Girls Club, I get it what you're saying about the black ones, is Natalie Nunn and what's that other chick? Tanisha. Yeah, that's pretty, but see, Tanisha don't act a fool like that. That chick has moved on and done a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of hard to go with that analogy, at least for me. That why we judge and what we do on television, and that's a few people. That's not all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you something that really disappointed me. My wife was watching a show last night, some new show called Married to Medicine. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't. I don't watch TV.
It's a new show, and you have doctors and doctors' wives, okay? This one doctor, she's an OBGYN, you know, all these are black women. Okay, and I think he got one white lady on the show. And two of my doctors, the rest of them either married to doctors. The first show that my wife was watching, I was, you know, sitting there, and you have doctors' wives fighting at this classy, classy party.
Mm-hmm.
Fist fighting. And I say, oh my God, I'm like, these women are supposed to be sophisticated and they're fighting on television? I said, man, you can't take the hood out of these females at all.
But did it do that for ratings?
I don't care who say what. I'm not going to degrade myself, and I know I've gotten to that point in life. You get what I'm saying? Now, mm-hmm. if I'm putting on a show, okay, fine, let's put on a show, whatever. But when you to the point that you're a doctor and actually a doctor's wife, when does the line stop? And you living up to a stereotype that says no matter how high a black woman can get, she's still some ghetto hood rat.
Yep. Well, in Harlem,
Sarita said,
they're just.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But a lot of the times they're just doing that stuff for TV. They're not. I mean, real doctors' wives don't do things like that, because they know that if that show was real, every single last one of those women would be divorced within a week, because you can't do stuff like that. They have an image to uphold. But, you know, because it's TV, they have to do these things. Because if they were sitting there taking the kids to school and being a very classy, sophisticated woman, no one wants to see that. That doesn't make for interesting television, because if that was the case, you might as well record your own life and watch it on TV.
Yeah. You can say that. The time I had talked to Rashida from Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, I asked her that specific question. I said, is reality TV real? And Rashida said that the cameras follow you around and it is your real life, but they're going to put in the most outlandish stuff in the show to get the drama and the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Rashida told me.
But she's not allowed to say anything either. She have a contract. So even though if she say yes or no, I mean no, she could be lying, because she have a contract and she's not allowed to say none of those things. So her money would be taken away from her, or she would have to pay a fine.
You make it say that, but I didn't really see her BSing me on that, because I've heard that a couple of times before. But the thing is, I don't really just agree with just because what you see on television, you look at and assume that's how black people are. But, you know, just like, for instance, I have a lot of Mexican friends and, you know, family also, and they don't like the, you know, stereotype that, oh, all Mexicans are either ranchers or they're working on the back of being a landscaper or they out there with a mariachi band. They say they don't like that either. Or they the drug cartel. They don't like that either. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, you think about it, and I've been noticing a lot of movies when it's cast in Hispanic. They always put them in a drug situation with a cartel. Have you noticed that?
Or the women are always maids, or they're they do have some Hispanic females play the love interest, but for the most part, a lot of the women do have these. They have this image like, oh, they're poor, or they are maids, and they're house cleaners, or they have a bunch of kids and they're not married. So
exactly, are they illegal and they're trying to come over here, you know, and just trying to get some sort of American dream? And I'm like, really? You know what I'm saying? But I kept noticing that. My wife was saying that too. She was like, you see how they kind of cast in Hispanics all the time? I'm like, yeah, I'm noticing that stuff, how they doing that. At one point in time, they used to put us in movies like that, black men, you know, back in the crack thing, black men selling crack, black men, and we always the criminals. And the police officer is always white, and he always going to save the day of the evil black drug dealer. Now it's the evil Mexican cartel.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. They move off of that, right? They didn't move off of that in the movie, or they still have it in the movie?
What did they move from in the movie?
With black men selling crack and so on. They still do that in movies?
No, because most of the movies I've seen as of late is always Mexicans in a cartel.
See? You have to give them something else to talk about, else another stereotype to stereotype you with. Because we keep the one thing. Before, we used to do so much of different things, and now we've just stuck, and now they stereotype us on what we stuck on.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's messed up. Because, you know, I had got a message today from a dude that's Mexican. He said, hey, man, you know, he said, not just black people watch the channel. He said, you know, I'm Mexican, and, you know, we deal with the same things that y'all deal with, too, and how they treat us, you know. And I'm like, I said, well, man, I said, listen, I said, I'm pretty sure. He said, I know that because I have some homeboys that's Mexican, too, and I feel them because they tell me the situation. And I've had, you know, friends on the job. I have one friend in particular I'm still cool with. He's Mexican. And he cut for me 100%. Helped me out and told me what to look out for and stuff because, you know, they were just trying to do me and him wrong. They did us so wrong on that job. You know, we had to do all this extra work, but they had a lot of white guys just sitting around and not doing much of nothing until we had to say something about it. You know, but they always say black people are lazy. But yet every black guy I know, he kills himself working. Well, let me see if I go ahead and get this call here.
You ain't lying.
Erico 402, you on the show?
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
How you doing, sir?
I'm fine. This is Black Man 37. I thought I'd give you a call in on the issue because, you know, Hollywood is based off stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they make their money. You know, they don't really concern themselves with trying to tell you this all the time. You know, especially when it comes to blacks, Latinos, and people in the Middle East.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. If you cast them, they're terrorists. If you cast Asians, they got to be doing something with karate or something.
Yeah, I mean, because the last movie was Fall of Olympus. The Koreans, I think they were Koreans, or were they South Koreans? Or they were terrorists in that movie,
mm-hmm.
This latest movie that came out. So now they're painting them as terrorists because they redid Red Dawn. And the Koreans were the terrorists in that movie.
Wow, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen the remake, but I've seen previews of it. And I said, oh, wow, so this is what we're going to do. So we paint everybody of color as terrorists or as criminals or as anything low grade. But you barely, very rarely ever see some cases where the white males are so evil. I mean, there's every here and there, but for the most part nowadays, looks to me like every person of color is always a criminal.
Yeah, every time. He's a criminal, or he's some sort of criminal interest. And think about it. I mean, I just kind of start putting two and two together. That's why I don't even watch half of the stuff that's on this TV today, unless it's, like I said, the only thing I kind of watch on TV, I'll just be real with, is reality shows that half the time my wife and got me into, so now I'm sitting there watching them. You know what I'm saying? I'm recording them, too, because I laugh at it. I think it's fun. It's entertaining me.
That's what it's supposed to be, for entertainment, but like you were saying earlier, a few minutes ago, that, you know, they don't say so much about the white ladies, the mob bosses, or the mob wives.
Yeah, exactly, mob wives. You're right. Those women be fighting. They be acting fun.
Right. Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? But yet, nobody say nothing about them. If those women went to different parts of the world, they would treat them the utmost respect and say, "Oh no, that's some ghetto females." And that's how they act. They act ghetto.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's a shame. And on the other end, when you talk about women, yeah, black women are always the prostitutes. Sometimes they have Latinas on there as prostitutes, or Asians as prostitutes, because they always want to talk about the sex trade. They always throw some Asian women in there.
Yeah.
They don't throw too many. Oh, if it's like a street walker, she's Latina or she's black. You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, they may throw a woman from Croatia or the Ukraine in there. But for the most part, women of color are always usually a lot of times they're always the prostitutes, drug addicts. Or one of these ladies we're talking about, who was a Latina, they always paint this, the spicy Latina type of character. She's always got to have Spanish accent. She always got to be, you know, cussing people out in Spanish, or she always dressed very provocatively, you know, or kind of like Sofia Vergara. I can't pronounce that fact.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about, the lady.
Yeah, Sofia Vergara. Yeah, I know you're talking
about. Yeah, and that was always, you know, the image they like to throw out there.
I heard this Spanish girl talking about that too one time. She was kind of going off on YouTube, and she was saying, you know, I'm getting tired of where they're casting us. Say either, you know, you got to be, you know, that loud mouth Rosie Perez Puerto Rican, or you got to be some maid, you know. And she was imitating it like perfect. I said, wow, you know. I said that's something, you know, how they cast them as well.
Also with
black women and something else, they try to cast them. They try to cast them as the bed wench. You gotta do that. Yeah, that's
you mean like the Kerry Washington character.
Yeah, there you go. And I had women arguing with me about that. Oh, she's doing it, but it's not about that. That's just a small part of it. I say, yeah, but she's feeling something. You say, but a black woman wrote it. It's not. I say, no. I said, it's kind of still like the bed wench thing. I say, why couldn't she be the wife? Why she got to be the bed wench?
Yeah.
Why couldn't
she
be the person that the president, you know, why couldn't he, like, there was a movie that is a really old movie where the president, I think his wife died or he got divorced, and he actually fell in love with one of the women that were working there. Why couldn't it be a story like that? I would even accept the fact that he was divorced or he was a widower and he fell in love with one of the people that were working for him. I would have no issue. But the fact that she has to be, you know, his sex toy, basically, or his mistress.
The bed wench.
Jump
whatever.
Off.
Whatever. Bed wench, jump off, mistress, whatever term you want to call it. There's no honor in that.
No, it's not. But what kills me and what some of the arguments that came to me on YouTube was, it's not a big deal. Black men, this Doug argument. Black men do it all the time. Black men always gonna get them a white woman. They're like, what that got to do with this show in that situation? Most of black men ain't considered a bed wench either.
Most black men all get a white woman, huh?
No, I said we aren't. No, I didn't say that.
That's what the lady saying to you. That's what I was like, what?
Yeah, no, with no words, they're trying to say, why y'all saying this about this situation with Kerry Washington, but black men is always, you know, getting them a white woman. I'm saying, yeah, they do, but that's not all. And the numbers are actually small if you look at it. I look at the numbers the other day, and actually black men categorically marry black women way more than they do white women or anybody.
Exactly.
It's true. I read it, and white people themselves be with themselves a lot more. Now, the number one race that I read the numbers, the number one race that white women go after white men is black men, and then after that would be Hispanic, and then white men go after Asian women, then Hispanic, then black. I mean, their numbers of being with black women is so small. But most of black men are married, by the numbers, to black women.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, so it's only a few brothers, you know, that are dating or marrying interracially. It's not as big as people think. But when you see a high-profile brother do that, then you know what I'm saying? But that's him. Like, why are you tripping? I don't see what – the numbers are so small.
But, of course, they're going to say, oh, why didn't you go and, you know, why didn't you go and – go find a girl from the hood and rescue her from there and all that.
Because he ain't got his cape on, that's why.
Well, I mean, a man with common sense would not go and marry somebody who doesn't have anything to really offer him other than sex and cooking and whatever, that, you know.
They have time, definitely, a lot of these females can't offer no cooking.
True.
So, when we started talking about that cooking topic. Hey, Sharida, can you cook?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, there you go.
Yeah, man.
These stereotypes, you know, they throw that Hollywood is a beast, you know. Just like the white women with blonde hair are always dingy or dancy.
Yeah.
Or but like one of my coworkers, she has blonde hair. She's an attractive young lady, married. And me and her were having a conversation. I said, you know what? I found it always interesting that white men are always dogging the hell out of women that look like you. I said, I find it interesting because they always think that you're stupid. I said, and I've been observing for a long time that y'all are really not stupid, that y'all really play the game very well. You play the stupid, but you normally get what you want because they normally are breaking their neck to get you.
Mm-hmm.
These white men love, they break their neck to get a white woman with blonde hair. I mean, they break their neck to get a blonde.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. They love them blondes. They got women that color they have blonde just so they can get. In other words, that's equivalent to the high yellow chick in the black community. I'm just calling it what it is.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't doubt that. I don't doubt that, because some of these brothers, that's what they go after. But, they always spit that out at us a lot, especially when I was coming up. You know, I'm about 40 now. So mm-hmm. when I was a teenager, you seen a lot more light-skinned women on TV than you did the dark brown or dark-skinned women.
Yeah.
Because they were always pushing that, pushing it. And that, part of that Hollywood is conditioning. That's another thing people don't pay attention to when you talk about these stereotypes. Part of that is a conditioning. They want to condition you to believe, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be with.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I'm supposed to go after. You know, just like in the commercial.
And they're making people self-hate, too. I see a lot of people on YouTube bleaching the skin, and like, I don't get it. I really don't. I don't know why you have to feel so low about yourself and to bleach your skin. Is it because what they're putting out there?
Well, I mean, what is the symbol of beauty in the United States and around the world?
Yeah, white.
The white, Caucasians. They
are the closest thing you look to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's come all the way back from the days in the Bible. So it starts from the day from the Pope when they start taking away everything and trying to mess up with the history. And so that's where it all goes back.
Well, if you think about it, you know, I've been doing a lot of research on this lately about how, you know, with the different types of people, you know, the Negroid, the Caucasoid, the Mongoloid, you know, where all these derive from, how they come about, and stuff like that. And the more and more I start looking into it, find out about the different languages, the division, everything comes from the Negroid anyway. The Caucasoid and the Mongoloid was considered genetic mutations based on the areas they were at. And as these mutations happened, that's where you get these different types of people. And they're talking about race. There's no such thing as a race. Mm-hmm. You just have three main ones. That's it. Everybody else comes out of the three main ones: Mongoloid, Caucasoid, and Negroid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and once you really look into that, you're like, wow. I mean, like, really, because they said that, like, for instance, back in the day when you just had one type, they said everybody was one people, everybody spoke one language, until they tried to, as the Bible records, try to build a tower to heaven, and God divided the languages, and everybody went with his own kind, according to the languages. But if you look more into it and see that, everybody comes back to black. No matter what you say, that's the original people. But I had to look more into it. I've heard that terminology, but I wanted to look into it more by study. And as you start studying it and they looking into the history and thinking about the pharaohs and all the other stuff, you know, come on, you know that's Negroes. You know, we flash about everything.
But as you see, I was looking at the one, I was looking at Queen of Patra and King David. It was King David. Yeah, and they were saying, like, how Queen of Patra is not black, but she comes out of, I'm not speaking Dutch, I'm sorry. I forgot her name, but she came out of Somalia, sorry. And and when you see the people go and discovering this ancient history, and they always have to say, oh, it's a white woman, and they always have to put a white figure in the clip that they're trying to show to you.
And that's a lie, because Cleopatra and all those people with dark skin, he did not have no light skin in our race. Light skin didn't even come to this country until slave masters started raping our grandmothers. We didn't have that. It was all dark skin like me or darker. It was none of that.
You can't say it, but that's not exactly true, because there are people that are in Africa that are naturally have a lighter skin. And
yes,
it goes
Miss Gabriella.
It has nothing to do with race mixing. There actually are black people that come from very, very light to very, very dark. You have the people that are jet black, and then you have people that are, you know, Beyonce's complexion all throughout
Africa.
I
got some lighter than
it has nothing to do with slavery or people coming in and raping women. It's just that's something that naturally occurs in the race.
Miss Gabriella.
What'd you say, brother? No, go ahead, brother. What'd you say?
No, I wanted to let her finish before I came.
No, I was finished.
What I was going to say, according to historians, one in particular I'm going to name, what's the gentleman's name? Fort Williams, or is it William Chancellor, one of the two. The gentleman made a chapter called The Mulatto Problem, in which he talked about how the conquerors had came in to parts of Africa. Now, remember, Africa was colonized by several different European countries. And then you also have to understand that the lighter, there wasn't really what you would consider a very lighter caste until they came in. That is a historical fact. When the Romans, Persians, whatever European countries, when they came in and started mixing, even before they called themselves Romans and stuff, because the Caucasians came to Africa several times, because they've been kicked out many times before that last time where they did completely dominate it. Now, that's what a lot of the mixing began, and then it did become a lighter caste. Now, when you were talking about way before the European came into existence, the only reason that actually came is because it was a mutation, like the gentleman was saying. When the mutation came about,
of course there's that mutation. I'm not saying that, you know, that's not something that happens, because you can have a black family that'll have people that are 20 different colors. And that's just, you know, that's just how it happens.
But go ahead.
I see a case well, I see a lot of cases in London that pair of black people is making white babies. And they had these two African couple. And, yeah, they were surprised to have a really, really white baby. And the husband thought that she went outside and did, you know, something with another person. And he had a DNA test done, and it was actually his child. And they was really surprised that they had a white baby. They have no generations of white in their family. They was pure African.
Well, yeah, but like I stated, it's genetic. Genetically, there's always a mutation that comes somewhere down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible because, like, there again, if you're looking at an albino, it's really a black person with no pigment, meaning they had very little melanin
mm-hmm.
in their blood. And if you put them in different environments, you will come up with a different type of people. And that's where the Caucasian came from.
Exactly. Same thing with the mongoloids. You know,
mongoloids, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like I say, if you research that, and also research the explosion of the black population, actually the caucasoid is actually going to be in very minimal numbers, and the negroid is going to be in higher numbers by 2040 all over the world. It's going to be more people of color, period, actually.
But you also know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you also know that people of color are 9/10 of the planet's population, where the Caucasian is only 1/10 of the planet's population.
Yeah.
They've always been the minority.
So then, like, say in America, you had now the influx of the, you know, Hispanic, which Hispanic is actually what you would consider a biracial. They're not, it's no such thing as a Hispanic. I mean, they are from the Aztec Indian and from the Spanish conquerors. So it's kind of like, let's say like in the black community, you know, how we have a lot of biracial people. It's like if they got together and created their own nation. That's kind of like what they did.
If you want to talk about certain groups like Latinos, because, you know, there's those who consider themselves Latinos, there's those who consider themselves Afro-Latinos. And Afro-Latinos mm-hmm. are people who can trace the blood back to Africa that admit that they are, their bloodline comes from Africa. Let me say it like that. Because you got other kind of groups like some Cubans, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and some other ones who will come to the United States and all of a sudden they see themselves as white and they're dark. I'm a chocolate brown. They're about my complexion and darker. And they will claim that I am not black. I have no association with black. I am Puerto Rican. I am Dominican, whatever.
Yeah,
or I'm Cuban.
They will say that. I've had some say that, like, no, I'm not black. I'm Hispanic, or I'm a black Hispanic, or whatever. You know, some come from Panama. Some, like you say, Dominican Republic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Brazil, or whatever. You know, like, dude, you black like me. They going to treat you the exact same way. And then when I shake my head and I say, you know what? You going to find out. You going to find out real quick. And they find out. And they be wanting to give the brotherhood then.
But you can only check them real quick, and just, you know, because when they start talking about I'm Spanish, I'm like, okay, what do you know about the history of Spain? Well, they may say this, that, and this, that. Oh, you must miss the 700 years where black men who are Muslims called themselves Moors, conquered Spain for 700 years. They were up there mixing. So those Spaniards got that blood in them.
And do you know Italian? Do you know Southern Italians are actually linked to us because the Moors that conquered the area? That's why Southern Italians are darker.
The Sicilians?
Yeah, the Northern Italians.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Moors. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. sir.
So, see, Gabriella, we getting a good lesson today on history, ain't we?
Well, actually, I know a lot of this stuff already, so.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Gabriella.
I mean, not to my own horn, but I was in the honors history classes, so I
Well, it's good that you actually know, because
unfortunately a lot of black people don't know their history.
You're right.
They don't know. If I was in class and I was to start a conversation about the Moors, people would be like, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
They would think that's some type of alien race, or they would know about, you know, how there would actually you know, they don't even know about the people that were back in the, you know, the area that we now call, well, we don't call it the Ivory Coast anymore because they changed the name, but the, but in West Africa, there was a lot of rich people there. There was, they had all this gold and they had all these resources and there was kings that were very rich, but a lot of people don't know about that. All they know is that, you know, Africa is dirty and everybody has AIDS and they're all skinny and poor and they have flies all over their face and they roll around in dirt all day.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that I thought that was awesome. I don't know if y'all seen that. Have you seen that that miniseries they had on TV on the History Channel called The Bible?
That thing has so many historical inaccuracies.
Of course, of course,
not even
of course that. Of course that. Of
that
course.
Thing was so inaccurate.
I'm gonna say a lot of things was taken out. Trust me, I'm not tooting my horn either, but I'm a kind of Bible scholar type. So yes, there's a lot of things that were taken out. The only thing I did like and I did appreciate about one story.
Black Samson. Though.
That's the right one. I'm getting that. I love that because you never see Samson as black. You never seen that. Did you see that, brother?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh
no,
man, you'll like that.
I didn't watch it.
Well, you'll like that.
He was black,
okay.
He had dreads, and his mom was black, and everything else.
Yeah. But guess what his downfall was?
We had Barack Obama looking Satan, so we're not going
to. You know what I'm saying? You know what his downfall was?
White
women. Delilah was
white
his
Yeah, white women. I was like, man, that's a brother. I was like, man, that's my brother right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm just playing around, but yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I was laughing at that. I said, oh, man, God, he sounds.
Yeah, but the lady is right. You know, some of us out here that don't want to read. They don't want to know the history.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. They don't want to learn nothing. If it's not on World Star Hip Hop, they don't want to know.
Right. And the only thing they know about Africa is the Egyptians. Wait a minute. There were several different. Many different civilizations. I mean, you had the Kushite civilization. You know, you had the Nubians.
The
remember the Nubians in the, huh?
And the Israelites.
Yeah, you had the 12 tribes of Israel, yeah.
Right. You had, you know, you also had the Nubians. And the Nubians sometimes were at wars with the Egyptians. Cleopatra, was father was a Nubian. Because you remember, there were several different Cleopatras. But they only usually talk about the one who was really the most powerful. But her father was a Nubian. And the Nubian civilization was a very powerful civilization, too.
Mm.
So, you know, you got all these different civilizations going on there, but they only talk about the Egyptian.
Yeah, and everybody will talk about the Egyptian headdress and everything. And, of course, the Egyptian was real flashy, too. That's why everybody likes to talk about it, but... You know, so many things in our history that we need to, and the thing is, the information is there, we just don't want to look for it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem. We want to worry about what's going on reality TV, like I say, a world star, who knocking whoever out on world star, or who got drama on YouTube. That's all we want to look into. We don't want to actually educate ourselves and actually make ourselves feel better that, hey, we aren't inferior as slave master told us we were.
Yeah. That's why I'm always by myself. That's why I keep her to myself most of the time because I can't hang around with people who just on one thing. I have to teach my brain something. My brain need to learn. You know, I don't want to be what the government teaching me. I don't want that. I want to learn on my own. You know, what the government teaching you is not always what is right.
Exactly, because like how they teach the kids in school, they teach the kids that, okay, you was brought here as slaves, and they watered that down, how that happened, then they jump all the way to Martin Luther King, never talk about Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, talk about him a little bit, and that's it. So I say, okay, what happened from the slavery all the way to Martin Luther King? They always leave that gap out, and they never talk about Malcolm X. How can you not talk about Malcolm X? How can you not talk about Medgar Evers? How can you not talk about Marcus Garvey? All these people,
exactly.
Emmett Till, how can you not talk about them? They were major factors in the civil rights. So that's why you say we actually have to teach our kids at home with our history. We can't depend on them in school to teach our history at all because they're not going to know. They're going to know what they want them to know, and make them think that, you know, hey, well, slavery, it was bad, but it wasn't that bad. You know, that's kind of how they teach them.
This is what I teach on my little four-year nephew in school, that he came home. I don't have no kids, so he came home to his mother. And,
you must be gay then. You don't have kids.
No, I have.
According to the stereotype.
Oh yeah, I guess I am. We was by my sister, and my little nephew was showing my boyfriend a picture with those birds, parrots, and they had all the birds coloring the color of the rainbow, and the honest bird was he didn't color in is the blackbird, and they say that they had a little note on the thing that the teacher write, that the reason you can't color in this bird is because this bird is, he find himself black, and he find himself not a unique color, and it's ugly. He don't like his color because all the other parrots have the beautiful color of the rainbow, and he is black. And that was ugly, and so he wanted to color in himself all the different colors to make him feel better about himself. And that's what I'm teaching my four-year-old nephew in school. And I was so pissed. I was pissed. And my sister is such a dumbass idiot. I'm sorry.
It is funny to hear that in your language.
She's such an idiot. She doesn't even pay attention to these things. And me and my boyfriend like, look, did you read this? Oh, yeah, it's cute, huh? I'm like, what the F? Do you see what's going on? She's so blind. She only thinks on Facebook, and she believes she's such a celebrity because she has Facebook, and everybody believes there's something on Facebook, you know? So yeah. I just can't deal with people like that, because I feel like you're not teaching an example, and why would you have kids if you're not going to teach an example? And that's why I don't want to have kids in this world, because I'm afraid to have them grow up like this.
Well, when it comes to having children, I'm a parent. You raise your kids how you raise them. Don't let the world raise them. You raise them. You teach them. You educate them. I mean, some people even homeschool their kids, in which, like I said, if I didn't live in the area I live in now where I don't know schools are good, that would probably be an option, because I don't like the education system here in America. It's horrible, and they don't teach our kids anything whatsoever, especially in a lot of our black schools where everything's a fashion show instead of education. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this was, you know, like I enjoy, you know, talking with, you know, about history. You know, it's good to know about that, and, you know, give you more pride as a black person, which you hardly, you know, have in this day and time. And we need more of that. You know, I mean, maybe I need to look more into it, and maybe put some videos, some blogs out on it, you know, here and there, to try to encourage, you know, our people a little bit to feel better about themselves. Because we need that, because if we focus on what's told to us, something wrong with us, you know. And we never hear those sort of things. So maybe I need to look more into it and put some videos out like that. But, you know, I'd like to thank you, brother, you know, for taking your time to call the show. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. And let me see. I got this call. Let me take real quick.
The Advice Show. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Got 60 seconds. What's up, bro?
All right, this is the Chad, and I support you. And I just had a radio show talking about race, and I do agree that stereotypes do hurt. Mm-hmm. And also, I think you and that other guy, Tommy, are good, but he was very disrespectful towards you, and I don't like that about him. And I support you.
Okay, well, I appreciate the support, brother. Thank you for calling the show.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. No, I want to thank everyone for joining me on the show, and thank every guest that called in. Mr. Ryder doing her thing away from Holland again, the brother, Black Man 37, coming in and bringing some of that good knowledge, and other brother that called in as well to give us a little shout out on the show. Ms. Gabrielle has put her links and everything in the description box. Where you can catch up with her. You can always catch up with us on our various websites and everything. Also on theadvisedshow.com, my website, and the Advised Show TV Ratchet Video Weekly and Advised Show Throwbacks on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter if you haven't followed me, and like me on Facebook, all the Advised Show. So until next week, thank you all for joining, and have a great night and a blessed week.